Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for Christmas midnight comes from our Gospel reading of Matthew. But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the name of Jesus, is there a miracle any greater than the incarnation? Perhaps the resurrection. That's true. For without the resurrection, our hope is useless and completely in vain. And yet, without the incarnation, there is no resurrection. Without the incarnation, there is no salvation. Without the incarnation, the entirety of the Old Testament is without validity. For each and every single promise held within would be nothing but the worst lie ever told to all humanity. For if God never fulfilled his promise that originated at sin's infancy, then sin's maturity, which culminates in our temporal and eternal death, could never be undone. And so it is this Christmas night that a church of stragglers and searchers, of drinkers and jokers, of beggars and sinners come here together in order to hear the promise of salvation that is received when God comes in the flesh. God in the flesh. Those within the church have heard that said so many times, I fear that it's lost its weightiness. It seems like maybe seeing the most breathtaking rainbow in the midst of the worst of all storms, and only taking solace in the fact that the rain and the lightning have now come to an end, forgetting all about the promise of God Almighty that stands behind that color-filled bow in the sky. So let us not forget the wondrous glory that stands behind the incarnation of our God. For in that giggling and dribbling baby boy is the greatest gift in the history of all the world. For God could have stayed locked away in the glories of heaven. He could have pridefully declared himself too holy to stoop so low as to wallow in the fallenness of his broken creation. Why not just scrap it all and start anew? Why not judge us guilty with the true justice of his divine law, which damns us eternally? Such a judgment most certainly would have been just. And in so doing, he would not have had to sully his holiness by coming in contact with all of us sinners who, in and of ourselves, wanted nothing to do with him. But in the end, love prevails. And such a truth isn't just some sappy sentiment that you might find in verse and rhyme of some foolish poets. Instead, it's a truth that holds true before all of creation. God loved us before he even formed us, before he even spoke into the void of nothingness and said, "Let there be." Such a love could not be stilled just because those whom he loved decided that they didn't love him back. And so, as a jilted and jealous husband of a runaround bride that sought comfort in any man except him, God steps into the brokenness of his fallen creation in order to save her from herself. In the flesh did your God come into this world, your flesh, my flesh too. This flesh right here that was eternally meant for the eternal glories but had selfishly chosen eternal damnation. It is a wonder beyond all telling that the only thing that God conceived would be good when faced with the annihilation of his beloved was to lay aside the glories of heaven, take upon himself the form of a servant, and lay down his life for his bride. The brokenness of our sinful state is too far gone, and we can't for the life of us grasp even a sliver of it. So far we remove from perfection, So much are we diseased by the corruption of our sin that it affects every single thing that we touch. Even our best intentioned good deeds are filthy rags. We couldn't dream of loving our God any more than we could build a tower into the heavens and become just like Him. But that didn't stop Him. I suppose He could have chosen any way in which to save us. He is God after all. But then again, perhaps He couldn't have. Perhaps in His infinite wisdom, He knew that in the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, was the only way. For that is how salvation came, how salvation was won for you. And so there He is, this Christmas midnight, cooing and crying and blathering and soiling in the manger of a stable where the beasts of creation could eat their fill, suckling as infants must, being changed and wrapped tight as infants must, later being taught to crawl and walk and talk and think, a real human in the fullest of sense, not pretend, not just wearing a mask, God now man, yet still fully God. All of the omnis of His divinity laid aside to be one of us, to be you. He saw those who were sick and those who were dying and those whose heart reached out. And He reached out to them, much like it still does, even today. He saw those who were starving for just a mere morsel of the bread that comes down from heaven, even if they really only sought for bread that would stop their bellies from grumbling. And He gives it to both to them. This God of all creation, who now stands in the flesh of mankind, He danced at weddings, and He sang on Sabbaths. And He found a joy in taking little children up into His arms and blessing them. And He became angry when the demons sought to oppress the children of His heavenly Father. He taught those who were ignorant, chided those who should have known better, comforted those who were terrified, forgave those who were caught in sin, and wept at funerals. He gave hope to the hopeless, healed those who were sick, opened the ears of the deaf, gave sight to the sightless, loosed the tongues of the voiceless, and He loved all of those who were deemed either by themselves or by others unlovable. But there is more, and of course there is more. There always has to be more with your God. For your God did not just come into the flesh only to commiserate with you in your fallenness. And He didn't only just care for your temporal miseries, for what good would that have been if the things of eternity still just held in the balance? Your God isn't like a morphine drip that seeks to just mask the pain but doesn't heal the disease that leads to death. No, God came in the flesh in order to make certain that your death would not kill you forever. He came to cure that disease and atone for that sin and put an end to that death and to stomp on the head of the demons who wished to drag you to the place that was only meant for them. So this little baby whom we come to adore this evening is not only a Christmas miracle, for the miracle of Christmas would be incomplete without the miracle of Good Friday and the greatest of all miracles of Easter Sunday. God in the flesh means God on the cross. There can be no Christmas without that. For the love that caused Him to take on your flesh is the same love that caused Him to become sin for you. I know it's kind of strange to think about the bloodiness of Good Friday as we sit in the darkness of Christmas midnight. But if you leave here with just one thing this evening and nothing else, may it be that you leave here looking at the manger through the lens of the cross. knowing that the forgiveness of sins is what Christmas is all about. This is who your God actually is. This is who you are to know Him to be. Not just some nameless, faceless spirit in the sky who cares not a whit for the struggles and sufferings and sins that you must deal with, but instead your God has a face just like you do, and He has a body that was lashed, and He has hands and feet with holes still gaping through them, and a head that was scarred from a crown that's more precious than anything ever made with gold or silver. Your God became man so that your God could become sin, your sin, my sin. Your God became man so that your God could fulfill all righteousness and number Himself with the sinner. Your God became man so that your God could receive the full weight and punishment for all your unrighteousness. Your God was born as a blathering baby so that He could one day grow up and say with the authority of heaven and earth, "It is finished," as He died on the cross for you. And your God became man so that He could walk out of the tomb fully alive, both body and soul, all so that He could assure you that at the hour of your death, you will one day do the exact same thing. So this evening, heed the words of the angel to Joseph and the whole chorus of the heavenly hosts to the shepherds. Fear not, for your God has come, Emmanuel, God with us, in the flesh, to save you from your sin, from your death, from the demons, from, goodness, even yourself. He has done it already. He continues to do it, even today. He will continue to do it until you see His divinely human face with your own two eyes at the resurrection. God with us, Emmanuel, He's come this day to be your Savior. Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus.